We are joined right now by the vice president and the general manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. He is in his fourth season. He played 8 years in the bigs. He was a two-time All-American at Stanford. The Phillies won 90 games in the regular season last year. They made the postseason for the second consecutive season, losing the NLCS after making it to the World Series in 2022. They open up the regular season tomorrow at home against the Atlanta Braves. We are joined right now by Sam Fold. Sam, it is great to have you on the show. Appreciate you doing it, Sam. How you feeling?
Feeling good, Jim. Appreciate you having me on.
It's great to have you on, Sam. Listen, I know you're hyped to get the season underway, but I want to start with you for a moment. I mentioned that you went to Stanford, where you were a two-time All-American. You were a pretty long way from home growing up in New Hampshire. Not only that, but your father was the Dean of College of Liberal Arts and a professor of psychology at the University of New Hampshire at one time. So how did you end up at Stanford?
Yeah, I still sometimes wonder about that. They have to recruit nationally, I think, with their sort of academic standards. And maybe my UCLA and USC buddies would disagree with that, but, you know, they typically look all over the country and now world, I think, for their baseball talent. And somehow, some way, found me up in small town New Hampshire. And, yeah, it was a shock when they showed interest when I was, like, a high school junior. And it was a bit of a pipe dream to go to a school like that, both in terms of the school and the quality of baseball. But, yeah, it didn't take much convincing. Once they showed some interest and I stepped foot on that campus, I was like, I'm in. Sign me up.
Oh, hell yes, definitely. When you step on that campus, you know, and especially given everything they're known for, both academically and in baseball, did you cross paths with my dude Ryan Garko while you were there?
Oh, yeah. Gark was he was a year ahead of me, and, man, he was a beast. He led us to a lot of success. We got to Omaha three different years together, and he's the man. And we work, you know, we're counterparts now with him being in Detroit and running their minor league system. And yeah, Gark's the man. He's taught me a lot over the years.
You know, I love hearing that. Gark is great. I love Gark, one of my favorite guys. And by the way, speaking of Omaha, you put up crazy numbers once you got there. So I appreciate all that. Talking about where you're at right now, what do you make of the work that your team put in spring in Clearwater? How hyped are you to play a game that counts?
We're ready to go. Yeah, it's a long season. You know, it's 31, 32 games. And, you know, it's an important part of the process, getting guys ramped up. You know, evaluating guys, we didn't have a ton of roster decisions to make, but certainly got good looks at the guys that we, you know, were in contention to potentially make our roster. So, and look, the sunshine is great and everything. The beach is great in Clearwater, but I'll take this, you know, 49 degrees and cloudy day here in Philly, knowing that we're about to tip off tomorrow any day. It's time, you know, it's time to turn the lights on and get going. And guys are hungry to, you know, bounce back a couple fun, exciting playoff runs, but ones that obviously stung a little bit at the end.
No doubt. Sam Fold joining us. What about that, Sam? Like, turning the page is the ultimate baseball cliche, especially after a tough loss and especially after a tough seasonal or a series loss in the postseason. You know, Arizona coming back on you guys, that stings. I understand that. Did you sense when guys showed up for spring training, was there any kind of emotional hangover when the team arrived, or was the end of the last season buried and forgotten?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. Like, I think it's good to have a little bit of, you know, an edge and, like, feel that bitter taste of losing like we did last year. And, look, we felt the same way a year ago when we came close to getting to the top of the mountain and losing to Houston in the World Series. So I think you can use that to your advantage, and I think our guys do a really good job of that. Like, you have to turn the page, but it's okay to be a little bitter about the way that the season ended last year. And I think guys, you know, use that to fuel them and get them motivated to get to the top of the mountain.
You used the word I was going to use. Why not convert that to fuel? Why not convert that to fuel? Why let that go to waste? That makes plenty of sense to me. Sam Fold joining
totally.
Us. Convert it to full fuel. Sam, ultimately it's going to come down to the players. You know this. I think even your manager, Rob Thompson, who did a great job and is doing a great job, knows that. Let me ask you about Bryce Harper. He missed the first 5 weeks of last season coming off that elbow surgery. Then he had to deal with some back issues that sidelined him for a week in Florida. Is he a full go for tomorrow? What's his outlook for the season?
Yeah, he's ready to go. I mean, he's one of these, you know, freak athletes, freak baseball players, freak talents that can just that doesn't need 40 or 50 at-bats in spring training necessarily to get locked in. And, I mean, he's come off of, you know, injuries in the past with us. He's done two or three-game rehab assignments in AAA and been like, at, you know, Babe Ruth after not seeing a live pitch in a month or two. So he's just special. And, yeah, while you would have liked to him have him be healthy throughout the course of spring training, he's good. He's good physically, and, you know, he'll be dialed in once we get going tomorrow.
Hey, Sam, you know how much of the game is played from the shoulders up. When you talk about him being a freak athlete, he certainly is that. Does he have the mindset to match his freakery athletically?
He does. I mean, I think that's in many ways what makes him special. I mean, like, what he can do physically is certainly puts him in rare company, but like the way he goes about his routine and his level of focus, like on a nightly basis, it's not just when the playoffs come around. It's like it's April 3rd with, you know, on a cold rainy night. It's throughout the course of the year where he's just focused, and he cares as much about his at bat, you know, in the ninth inning of a blowout game as he does his first at bat in a really pivotal game later in the year. So he's different. He's different between the years, and he's certainly different physically.
Sam Full joining us. Hey, Sam, help me with this. Like, I'm a proud alumnus of UC Santa Barbara. However, I need somebody who went to Stanford to explain the phenomenon that is Kyle Schwarber to me. How did this dude hit 47 home runs, batting leadoff, while hitting just 197 and striking out 215 times? Like, none of that makes sense to me. How do you explain that?
He's a different hitter, and he'll tell you the same thing. I mean, to have, you know, to hit in the leadoff spot and drive in over 100 runs and to score over 100 runs, like, that says something about you. But look, he's always had an ability to get on base. And there's different ways of doing that. Some years he's hit 250, 260 and gotten on base at a really high clip. But, you know, last year I think he had a career high in walk rate. I mean, it's like really goofy numbers, 17-18% of the time he's walking. And that allows you to, like, you know, he's a threat to go deep anytime he steps in the box, which I think is, like, really cool to have a leadoff hitter who does that. Like, there's no sort of easing into a game for a starting pitcher. You know, the heat is on from the jump, and he just gets on base in a really unique way. He may strike out more than he'd like, but, you know, with that comes a lot of walks, and so the batting average may not be pretty, but it's a different way of doing it, and it's a great way of doing it.
Right, and the game changed so much. When you talk about he's a leadoff hitter who's a threat to jump ship every single time he comes up, when you think back on the game and your time in the game, can you compare anybody to that? Who's ever been that much of a threat to hit a home run leading off? I mean, I used to think, back in the day, babe, way back in the day, Sam, and I'm older, when Ricky Henderson would hit 30 home runs, you'd always think, like, damn, this guy could go deep. He's going to get on no matter what. But who can you remember as a leadoff hitter who was that dangerous for power?
Oof, yeah, it's hard to think about anybody in that category. You know, I'm trying to think of the guys we used to play against when I was in Tampa, and we played against some really good teams between New York, Baltimore, Boston. But those teams had more sort of traditional leadoff guys. I remember Victorino in Boston and Brian Roberts in Baltimore, and I guess Jeter to some extent in New York. So it's just, yeah, not quite the threat to go deep the way that Schwarber does. But like I said, it scares opposing pitchers, and there's no just, all right, here's strike one down the middle to get things kicked off. Like, you got to honor every single pitch from the get.
Sam Full joining us. I get that. So the Braves are in town. You start the season with them. They've won the last six straight divisional titles, but you've knocked them out of the postseason each of the last 2 years. So starting with these guys seems pretty apropos. I mean, would you have it any other way? Not that you have a choice, but would you have it any other way?
No, I think this is pretty good. I mean, like, Strider versus Wheeler, I don't know if you can draw it up any better than that. And we've had some good battles. And I've, you know, first couple of years I was in the Phillies organization, I watched them celebrate on the field in front of us to get into the postseason. And, you know, we've had the upper hand when it's all said and done the last couple of years. But look, they've still won the division pretty handily the last couple of years. So it's pretty good, healthy rivalry, a lot of back and forth. We want to do what they've done the last couple of years and win the division. but I know that they'd be hungry to get revenge on us in the postseason. So I love it. This is good. This is a good start for sure.
So before I let you go, speaking of Wheeler, he won 13 games last year, so that's a good guy to hand the ball to. How much better did you sleep at night knowing that you locked up both he and Aaron Nola with extensions this offseason?
Huge. I mean, you can't have enough starting pitching, but when you talk about like that kind of quality, it's massive. You know, certainly lets you sleep a little bit better at night knowing that you can hand the ball to those two guys for the next few years at the very least. They're unbelievable. Like everybody sees what they do between the lines, but I think what gives you confidence in knowing that they're going to be really good for a long time is how much they care and what they do outside the lines, in the weight room, in the training room. They care. They want to be good for a long time, and I think that's what allowed us to have confidence in giving them longer-term deals, and we couldn't be happier.
Hey, Sam, one last thought. This is not your issue, but it is kind of a baseball issue. I'm just curious. That Shohei Ohtani story is so crazy and bizarre. When you first heard it, what was your reaction?
I think a lot like everybody else in the industry, just trying to piece together all the details that were out there, and obviously some of the information has shifted, and it's scary. I mean, you know, we may never know exactly what happened, and I know that there'll be a lot of work put into trying to figure out what happened there, but yeah, it's a scary thought, and you know, it makes you at least analyze what you're doing as an organization to make sure that players are protected and are aware of what they can and can't do. And I think we all do that. Each team does that appropriately, but yeah, I feel for everybody involved, and hopefully, everybody can move past something like that.
He is the VP and the general manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, year number 4, 8 years in the bigs, and they get underway again tomorrow. Sam, really appreciate you and the conversation, man. Great to have you on the show, Sam. Thanks so much.
Yeah, awesome to be here. Thanks, Jim.
Good to have you. Hope we can do it again soon. Sam Fold. I like that. VP, GM of the Philadelphia Phillies. He's doing a job now.